I've got a few SaaS ideas that haven't seen daylight yet. The idea of having a software as a service product sounds great though, doesn't it? Solve a problem with software, have a nice looking landing page and website, get paying customers, eventually have it make enough revenue so you can turn it into your primary source of income. That sounds great. There's a lot of software talent out there too. We could solve a lot of problems. But going from idea to product to first customer is non-trivial, especially as a side hustle. Brandon Brainerd joins the show today. He's got a cool idea, and I had fun talking with him.
Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics.
I'm here with Brandon Brainer. You've got this really great landing page called released.sh.
Yeah, released.sh.
I saw somebody ask you about it on Twitter and you said, well, if I ever get it done. So this is a side project that you're working on, right?
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing because I've got like a stack of side projects that I are in various stages of not being, you know, launched at all. And so it's an interesting idea of like, you've got knowledgeable software people that could definitely, if we had time to focus on something, build some cool stuff. But a lot of things are in the like pre-release side project stage. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about both these things, like the problem space that released is looking at, but also the problem of how do we get something from idea to actually usable by people.
Yeah.
So first, what's the problem that released is trying to solve?
Yeah, so worked in quite a few startups over the last like 5-6 years, and I guess this is probably an issue with every company is, you know, you've got sprint cadences. In theory, at the end of every sprint, there's stuff you're going to release. If you want to get that information out to your customers or consumers of your product, how do you do that? And everywhere I've ever been, it's been a very manual process. The product manager, project manager, whatever you want to call them, goes through, looks at the tickets we've done, has some idea of, okay, we've released this much of this thing. Here's what we can let people know about. Then they kind of compile their notes and then they send that off to some release manager, like the head project manager person, and they compile them into a list. And then, I don't know, they put them into an email somewhere, or they some kind of notification on your website, right? They've got to do some manual process to get that information in there. My thought process was, well, we already use things like Jira or some sort of project management tool. Why don't we have the person that's creating the tickets, when this epic is done or when this story is done, this is what we know it's going to go out to the customer. If they could put the release notes in there, and then there was a piece of software that would reach out on it on like a bi-weekly basis, a daily basis, or maybe even like webhooks that like something like Jira has that says, hey, this story was closed, and send a request off to something like a release and say, this story was closed. Here's the notes we put in and here's the day it's going to be released. And that's the day we want it to go out in an email, go out in an in-app notification, something like that. And just kind of automate the whole process, because there's, you know, in business, time is money. If you've got somebody wasting time curating these notes and doing all this manual process, you're wasting their time. They could be doing something more productive. And in theory, you know, you're kind of wasting money paying them. So yeah, if release can do that for you, that would be like the first thing that I was thinking about building with it.
Okay. So there's still like somebody writing down the pros of like, you know, these features are here or these things were fixed or something like that, but they don't have to do it in real time or anything like that.
Yeah. No real time. No, like, you know, Slack messages or emails back and forth to keep track of. It's just one person does it. It's automated after that.
Okay. Interesting. But this is in you've got your landing pages looks great, by the way. Did you hire somebody to do this or?
No, this Tailwind CSS and Tailwind UI. So for anybody who's been living under a rock in the software world, Tailwind CSS is a CSS framework. And then they've got a library or a product that they actually sell called Tailwind UI that has that's three different kind of like layout things you can work with. It's a, there's a website, a e-commerce, and an application, different kind of different components. And what's really nice about that is once you get that, they also have all of those components broken out into Figma designs. So I was able to download the Figma designs components, build this out in Figma in like 10, 15 minutes. And then using the components that they have on Tailwind UI, they give you the HTML or the React or the Vue code to actually put it into process, this. So I would like to say I took credit for building this, but everything here is all pre-built stuff from Tailwind.
Well, apparently I have been living under a rock. Anyway, it looks great, but it's not ready for people to use yet, right?
Yeah, correct.
Ideally, who's using it?
So that's one of the problems I'm facing in my head of like why I haven't put a lot of time into it, because trying to, first of all, define that target market, like is it an early stage company that's using maybe not something like Jira, because Jira is really heavy, but using some like Linear or GitHub projects or something like that. I'm trying to find that focus audience. And in my mind, I think to myself, it's probably more for what I'm going to classify as like a mid-sized startup and higher, right? Like somebody who's probably inside of Jira that has an organization breakdown of, you know, they got three or four different engineering teams working on multiple things at once, that needs some more process automation. In my mind, the people who I think would be most beneficial for this.
Interesting. If you're going to go with a project management software, which one do you do? And it's, if you're one person, you really can't do all of them because that's too much work, right?
Yeah.
It's just an interesting thing. Is this a, do you think it's something that's too big for one person to do as a side project? And that might be one of the things to whittle down of. Maybe reduce your target audience and reduce the technology such that it is something that one person can work on.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of where I'm stuck at, is figuring out that target audience. And not, I think the biggest criteria I need to think about when, you know, or anybody thinks about when they're doing a single, if I want to call it a founder side project that you're hoping, you know, I guess the end result I'm looking for with the release is something that I can make enough money with that I can potentially quit my day job and just focus full time on this and maybe build a small company out of. You know, I don't know if I'd ever want to run, you know, this multi-million dollar 200 person company, right? Because that's just not me.
We should have tons of applications out there that are built up enough to be able to reasonably support a handful of people. Why not?
Yeah. I think the problem, definitely the problem I run in here too, is, you know, if you have to start somewhere, right? And you always, you know, I've just worked a full day. Now, am I the kind of person that can sit down and spend another 4 or 5 hours writing code? Do on the weekends, instead of going out doing something outside, can I take a Saturday and spend a day writing this code or defining these features or, you know, these things that people have aspirations to do, but when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, actually doing it is a whole nother story.
Well, also just like, what do you work on? I face this all the time, even with this podcast and with writing and with other side projects of, I kind of need to, I want, if I have 20 minutes to sit down and work on something, and sometimes that's it. Sometimes I have like 20 minutes to 1 hour to work on something. I don't want to spend 20 minutes thinking about what to do. I want to have like a planned out list so that I can sit down and actually just kick something out. That was a struggle for me for a long time. And I still struggle with it because I forget the tricks of spending, like if I've got sometimes if I have an uninterrupted hour, that's a perfect time to just actually plan. Like what are the next 3-4 things that I want to get done? And just not plan the entire thing, but just the next 3 or 4 things so that the next time I have 20 minutes to sit down, I can actually work on something.
Yes.
I fall for that all the time of sitting down and thinking, what do I want to work on now? And it, especially like with remote work and stuff, we deal with this even with day jobs of like, I just got back from Christmas vacation. What am I working on?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do at work? I mean, do you have the same sort of issue at work, or, but you're there for 8 hours a day at work, right? So that's not that big of a problem.
Yeah. And, you know, usually there's, you know, as a developer, usually have a, some sort of, I guess, a project or project manager or product manager or whatever you want to call them. It's got that predefined work for you, right? Like, here's the problem we need to solve. Yeah. You've done some, but kind of alluding to what you did, you know, if you've got an hour, you know, there's a sprint cadence and you always have time in there for planning and stuff like that. So, you know, in the next 2 weeks, here's the plan we've come up with and here's what you need to do. And that's definitely, I think, a problem that hits a lot of people trying to do side projects as well is, you know, as developers, we just want to jump in and code, right? Like we don't want to do all the paperwork and the thinking ahead. Like I'm gonna write this service that, you know, does authentication or whatever, does billing.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't think about, well, is that really the first thing I should do? Should I just build the service and like, could I sign people up manually, like have them submit a form and I could create their stuff and sign them up for billing? And then as more and more people sign up, okay, now I need to build the billing stuff. You know, kind of prioritize, you know, what can get my project out there faster to make sure people actually want to use it, which is kind of why I built this landing page first, kind of going, you know, in a different order than most people do, is, you know, how can I generate the interest in this and make sure it's something that I should actually spend time building versus building something, throwing it out there in the market and nobody cares about it. So hopefully somebody comes to this page, looks and says, oh, there's a sign up for early access. And that takes you to a form. And then you can kind of give me a little bit of information about yourself and how you do your process now, which one is going to, if there was enough people, cohort that filled this out, I could say, cool, here's how people actually do stuff. And here's how we can solve that versus here's my idea of how I want to solve it. Then get it out to the industry and everybody's like, this does nothing for me.
Right, exactly. That's an interesting thing of solving your own problem. Sometimes you don't know if it's just your problem.
Exactly.
It's not that it's that we're going to come up with the answers right now, but just these are common problems. And I'd love to hear from other people to find out, you know, how things are solved. So so we've got, what are our problems? One of our problems is, like you said, the thing I'm building, is it really something that solves a problem that that people have and that they would actually pay money to fix? And also, am I, like, on your landing page, is the pros and information there, is it enough to describe the problem so that people can understand it? That sort of marketing stuff. Then and then what do I work on? How do I, when I have time, what can I work on? It's hard to do sort of sprint planning for side projects when you don't even know how many hours you're going to have to work on it.
Yeah.
But you can do, like, instead of sprint planning, you can kind of maybe do a top five list or something like that of the next few things I need to get done. I think a lot of side projects end up being like those free for open source users sort of things for a while, because partly because people like punt on the billing stuff. They're like, I don't know. I don't want to do billing yet. So let's not do a paid product right now.
No, that makes sense. And that's a good way too, to get, you know, people interested in your product, you know, get it out there, testing it, finding those early bugs. Because if you can get it out there in people's hands for free, and you can, you know, if you had to make enough money to support the, you know, because when you launch this, you're going to use AWS, Google, Azure, DigitalOcean, something like that. That's probably going to charge you some money, unless you've, you know, can stay within their free tiers. You know, can you afford to do that while you have a couple months of no billing?
Right. So now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking that maybe that's why some people do the limited invite list to start up with. Because if they're doing it for free, they don't want 1,000 people there. Plus, also, do you really want feedback from 1,000 people? Like, I don't even know if you're the right target audience for my product. Yeah. So limiting it to like 10 or 20 until the feedback is manageable. And then maybe that's not enough. Maybe 20 people isn't enough to get reasonable feedback. So maybe open it up to 30 or 40 or 50 or a couple hundred or something like that. But yeah, anyway, I'm not even close to thinking about that with like some of the side things. One of those, my side projects, which I definitely don't want to talk about yet because it's just in the inception phase. I actually just would love to get one customer first.
Yes. Yeah.
So getting to one would be good. But then there's the time thing. I definitely feel that of I've already got a job and then I've got family. I got to make dinner and do housework and all that sort of stuff. How do I fit in side project stuff? So how about you? When do you find time to do side project stuff? Is it weekends or evenings or?
Yeah. So I, right now it's just me and my wife and my dog. So no kids, nothing like that. So once I clock out of my day job at 5, 6 o'clock, whatever it is, I'm pretty open, which is a bad thing to say because if anybody listens, be like, well, you've got all this time. Why aren't you working on a side project? Because mental sanity matters too. I might read a book. I might, there's TV shows that I like to watch. Just hang out with my wife, it's trying to find that balance of, I want to start my own thing, but I also need to relax.
Yes. Because
burnout's a real thing.
Definitely. Hopefully I've been really trying to do some side hobbies that have nothing to do with software. Because having that, getting away from the screen is important. Even if I come back to it in the evening, a little later. When I was younger, probably 30s, even in my early 40s, I think I could work late into the night and just go to sleep fine. But I'm finding now that I can't work up until midnight and then just go to bed. That my brain doesn't turn off. So I gotta have some, if at the end of the day, my work day, I go do family stuff and then whatever, and then come back and maybe do some coding. I definitely need to leave some time, to wind down after that. So I'm not, so that my project isn't the last thing I'm thinking about before I go to bed.
I find that as well. I'm 35 now and it's like, if midnight's about the latest I can make it anymore. And if I don't stop working by 10:30, 11 o'clock, I go to bed, my head's still going over like the problems that were in my head. Anything like that. So I completely agree. That takes time too.
One of the things I'm trying to do on my side projects is to use them as learning things too, because there's a ton of stuff I want to learn. And if I don't have a reason to learn it, I probably won't. So, things like, trying to build something that uses Django so that I can learn some more Django or something like that. And actually one of the reasons why I want to throw a side project together is because I've never had to deal with things like billing and I hear something like Heroku or things like that the cost might creep up, but I think I don't care right away. Cause I'd probably like try to limit the number of people using it for lots of reasons. One, just to keep the cost down for hosting and stuff, so I don't have to deal with that.
I think that's something a lot of people get into too, is, they don't want to use Heroku or they don't want to use like Google App Engine or something like that because, these platforms as a service, they want to throw right into Kubernetes or something like that. But God, there's so many other stuff. There are other things you have to worry about when you're building a brand new application, that setting up a deployment pipeline and setting up your platform as a code and stuff like that. Scaling Kubernetes, any of that crap. It's just stuff you don't have to worry about. If you just throw it on Heroku, it works. And you can put up billing triggers and stuff like that too. Like if you don't want to spend more than X amount every month, that they can let you know when you're getting close to that. So definitely do that. But yeah, I I plan to go to Google App Engine or something like that when it first releases, because I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you're a single person, you can't, until you can bring on other people or you start making money from it. I think I want to kind of tie this up by just saying I'd really love to hear from other people that have maybe something running with a handful of customers or even lots of customers that they're still able to keep things moving forward with having it pay for itself and just a handful of hours a week. If there are people out there with that, that'd be great to hear. Be cool. And Brandon, thanks. We didn't really do an introduction before at the beginning, but what kind of a thing do you do for your day job, if you're okay with talking about that?
Yeah. So software developer, been in software development for a little over 10 years now. Right now in Python at a company that does analytical work for automotive parts, specifically more or less tires, making sure that people that sell tires, the manufacturer of tires, know their sell-through data, can make better decisions around, what's selling, how much this, they need to make of this, that, or how much they need to order.
You work in mostly with Python or what kind of?
Yeah. So right now, Python, we use Flask and Fast API for our backends, Flask for the other stuff, moving to Fast API for the new things, do some front end work. Here we're Angular, but I've done React and, Vue in the past, PHP, C#, basically nice. Learn whatever the job requires me to do.
So. Well, first of all, I hope you stay having fun as a software developer. That's way more important than pulling side projects together. But this looks pretty neat. Please keep us informed on Twitter and stuff. I'd love to hear progress if we have more of a rollout or anything. So,
yeah. And I think you one final thought. You just touched on something very, very good. You said, keep having fun as a software developer. In the age we live in Twitter and stuff like that, and everybody trying to roll their own SaaS, there is nothing wrong with just being a software developer at a company, enjoying the hell out of your day job. And then at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you hang up the keyboard and don't think about software till the next day. Like, I feel like there's so much pressure that everybody needs to have their own company. They all don't need to do their own thing. You don't need to. So keep that in mind for anybody listening that, I need to come up with this awesome idea. You don't need to.
Being a software developer is a really good job.
No, and right now it's the best time. Like, there's people that you ask for a salary and they're basically going to have to pay it because we're in such high demand right now. So, there's nothing, and benefits, never discount health benefits, paid time off. If you get 401k match, stuff like that is stuff that's going to be hard to come by when you're off on your own.
Right. I do along that line, we hear a lot about that. People jump in jobs because they can make a lot by jumping jobs. Mm-hmm. There's also stress with a jump. So I want people to realize that there's been a lot of stress through the last couple of years. There's always stress, but if you're enjoying your job and you're making enough, definitely, talk to your management team about raises and stuff. But if you're enjoying it and having fun, you don't have to feel guilty about making less than what you think everybody else is making. It's okay. Yeah. Having fun as a software developer, that's why I got into it. So, and there's been years where I forgot that, where I like, it was just so driven, but I definitely want to come back to always having fun. This is it's a pretty cool thing to be able to monkey with like code as a daily basis and have people pay for it. That's pretty neat.
Exactly.
So yeah, thanks for the positivity there, Brandon. And we'll keep in touch. I'll talk to you later.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me or /newsletter so that I can reach you or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.